at Nylon, New York. On the day of their arrival, the entire company was going to ride down Manhattan from 42nd Street to the Battery. Annie was seriously ill with blood poisoning, but she insisted on riding in the parade, despite Frank's objections. "I had so carefully planned and fitted a pretty habit with everything to match," she wrote. "That parade in New York meant everything to me." And as she well knew, her rival Lillian Smith would be riding in it. Ill or not, Annie was going to appear. She managed to get through the long ride and then collapsed for 4 days. It was the only time she ever missed a show. Nevertheless, she was soon back in the spotlight more than ever. New Yorkers swarmed to Staten Island on ferries from morning till night. Annie and the rest of the troupe performed before 15,000 to 20,000 people every day that summer. The Wild West show became the most popular entertainment in New York history. With success like that, Bill reasoned, there was no reason to leave New York. When winter came, the show could simply play indoors. There was a large, imposing brick and marble building on Lower Fifth Avenue that had hosted concerts, boxing matches, and the Barnum and Bailey Circus. It was called Madison Square Garden, and it would be perfect. Like Annie, Bill was always striving to top himself, so he hired a writer called Steel McKay to turn the Wild West show into a play. The result was a four-act extravaganza called Drama of Civilization. It was performed against colorful painted sets under a roof that had been raised 25 feet to guard against stray bullets. It even had a giant blower that whipped up prairie cyclones. Annie's new act was one of the highlights of the show. In addition to shooting from the ground, she also did some spectacular stunts on horseback. Riding at a gallop, she slid down to untie a handkerchief from her horse's rear leg. Then she picked up a handkerchief, her whip, and her hat from the ground the same way. These stunts won her a gold medal from the Ladies Riding Club of New York. One stunt of Annie's never made the newspapers. It was a ride she took one snowy afternoon between performances. She slipped out of the garden, hitched a large moose to a sled, and drove him around the block. The moose, called Jerry, turned out to be hungry. All went swimmingly until Jerry's bead-like eyes espied a pushcart laden with nice juicy red apples, wrote Annie. Three of his long strides, and he was at the cart, and apples flew in all directions. The vendor's hair stood straight on end. My moose ate the apples, and my $5 paid the bill. Once forced to watch every penny, Annie could now spend money freely, even on a hungry moose. She had come a long way. Chapter 9. England. In the spring of 1887, Annie sailed to England for Queen Victoria's Golden Jubilee. Victoria had been queen for 50 years, and the Jubilee was a national celebration. There were fairs, parades, and public entertainments of all kinds. Bill managed to book the Wild West show in London for the entire summer. It was one of the smartest things he ever did. In true Wild West style, even the troupe's departure was a spectacle. As a crowd watched from the docks, the entire Deadwood stagecoach was boxed and loaded into the hold of a steamship. Then came buffalo, deer, bears, elks, donkeys, mules, 180 horses, and 5 Texas steer. Buffalo Bill strode up and down the deck shouting orders, and the Western and Mexican cowboys came aboard next. They were in high spirits. Then the show's Sioux and Pawnee Indians boarded. They were not happy. They believed that an ocean crossing spelled almost certain doom. To everyone's surprise, their fears came true. A few days out at sea, a ferocious storm hit the ship. As the Indians huddled together singing their death chants, Annie rode out the storm, wrapped in an oilskin and strapped to a chair. Not a passenger except my husband and myself knew that we had been in danger of losing our lives, she wrote. The storm was so fierce that the ship lost a propeller and drifted 250 miles off course. When the steamship finally docked in London, it got a warm welcome. Frank had become an expert at getting publicity for Annie. He made sure that Wild West posters were plastered all over the city. When the show opened on May 9th, more than 10,000 people were packed into the grandstands. All of London wanted to see the Yankees, as the Americans were called. And they liked what they saw. From its very first day, the show was a great success. It went on to attract more than 500,000 people that month alone. Among them was Prince Edward, the future King of England. At the special show for Edward, called a command performance, we all worked like little hound pups at a rabbit hole, wrote Annie. The prince found the show so exciting that he stood for most of it. He was especially impressed with Annie and had her called to the royal box. Wanting to congratulate her, the prince held out his hand. In a surprising gesture, Annie shook the hand of Edward's wife, Princess Alexandra, instead. You'll have to excuse me, please, she said sweetly to the prince. I'm an American, and in America, ladies come first. Much was made of Annie's mistake in the newspapers the next day, but she knew exactly what she was doing. The prince liked to flirt, and Annie knew that it pained Alexandra. Her sympathies were with the princess, and this was her way of showing it. Edward took no offense. What a pity there are not more women in the world like that little one, he remarked. Soon after, he wrote to Bill. Would Annie Oakley, the little girl who shoots so cleverly in your show, agree to a shooting match against Grand Duke Michael of Russia?